Going to be talking this morning about keep running the race, not stopping. And we're looking at Hebrews 12, 1 to 3 to talk about that and why our risen Lord gives us strength to run that race. Because Christ Jesus is risen from the dead. Say, Alleluia, Amen. Because of this, we enjoy the promise of eternal life and an eternal kingdom. The promise which the Lord has made to us, says in 1 John, is eternal life, and that's an eternal kingdom. And because we labor for eternal rewards, we are asked to persevere through all of our trials and temptations. It's a picture of perseverance. You've climbed the top of a cliff, you've persevered. For sure. And we're looking for that because Jesus himself persevered. And he got through all that he did. And he strengthens us because of who Christ is and what he has done and accomplished for us. He, in Hebrews chapter 12, 1 to 3, he says he faced the hostility and he overcame it. We are asked to continue to have strength every day from our faith to endure to the very end. He who endures to the end shall be saved, Matthew says. And that's about endurance, just sticking to it, not losing heart and not staying stuck, but moving on ahead with our risen Lord Jesus, who intercedes for us from heaven, together with all the saints and angels, as Hebrews 12:1 says. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and every sin which clings to us so closely. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And so, through the power of the Holy Spirit, he provides us the strength to sustain our earthly journey until we reach our ultimate safe place in heaven. Because heaven is our home. Praise the Lord. Let us pray a moment before we read again Hebrews 12:3. Lord, we thank you for the word. It comes to us in such power and such richness. There is almost no end to what we can learn, Lord, virtually each word. But you have phrased it and you've put it into the mouths and hands of writers, the one who wrote this book of Hebrews, like Paul writing the letters, like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John writing Gospels. Thank you, Lord, for all the authors and the inspiration of the stories and the witnesses and the testimony that comes down to us, including the examples of faith given in chapter 11, which we're going to be talking about here. Thank you, Lord. Lift us up in our faith, strengthen us, and help us to persevere. In Jesus' name, amen. So here's the passage, Hebrews 12, 1 to 3. It follows Hebrews 11, which talks about all the examples of faith and what they did. And then it says here, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. The other way of saying that is the author and finisher of our faith. Pioneer, perfecter, author, finisher. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary or lose heart. This is how the Lord helps us be encouraged to move forward in our faith. And of course, these examples of faith from this previous chapter include Abraham leaving Ur, and then traveling the road to Canaan. And then also Abraham and Isaac going up the mountain where God has commanded him to offer up his son. And of course, as Abraham's about to offer his son with a knife, a ram is given in his place. And that's a whole picture of Jesus, the Lamb of God, takes away the sin of the world. And then you've got Noah building the ark. You've got Daniel in the lion's den. These are all stories which are the basis for our encouragement, displaying three essential characteristics of people who follow God, and above all, for us, who follow the risen Lord Jesus Christ. We are called... Let's see here. Make sure that I didn't turn this off, turn this back on. Make sure we're good. Right. We're people of faith, and the saints in Hebrew are told, are teaching us that we're to persevere through thick and thin. Julie Andrews gives us a wonderful quotation on this. Perseverance is failing 19 times and succeeding on the 20th. Now that's perseverance. You're not giving up. You're going to continue on. Persevering through thick and thin is an example for us in our faith. And then also, I don't know, Mike, can we have a clicker here? I'm not clicking. We lose our... No? The clicker is not working anymore? I'll turn it off. Turn it back on. I just don't see it, so you're going to have to move it for me. Patient endurance is also one of the qualities. There's three of them. Persevering, patient endurance, enduring through every ordeal and trial. And then you can use the next slide. Strength, to trust in God and hold on in spite of the circumstances you find yourselves in. This pathway of faith has been blazed for us by so many. You can go on to the next slide. There you go. Whether it is Martin Luther facing an emperor who declares him excommunicated and a heretic if he would just recant his words. But Martin Luther says, no, I cannot. I must be faithful to the scriptures, which have shown me that I am saved by grace and faith alone, and I cannot surrender. So he was excommunicated, declared a heretic, subject to a ban. He could have been killed by anyone legally. But thankfully, he left this place, and he went and someone hid him in a castle where he translated the whole Bible into German, from Latin into German. And then we see Paul in front of Festus defending the faith. And Festus gets so frustrated with Paul saying that Jesus is risen from the dead and Jesus is the one who sacrificed himself on the cross that Festus says, Paul, you're insane. You know, he just doesn't want to hear anymore. So Paul perseveres and endures through that opposition. Go to the next slide. I don't know if I'm clicking at all. Yeah, I'm clicking now. Good. I've got it. Martyr, he is a man who faces a judge who demands he denounce his faith. And if he doesn't, he's going to be flogged and then have his head cut off. And that's what happens to Justin Martyr. That's why he's called Martyr. He and the martyr word comes from his name in ancient Roman times, in fact. Or the other picture is a Christian believer being tied to a stake and burnt alive for their faith. Or another believer might have been tied to a stake and put in the ocean to allow the tide to drown them. These persecutions have happened in history. They're part of our story. And believers face great cost and endured great opposition to be persevering in the faith, to continue on following the risen Lord Jesus. To believe, to have faith, is not to find a comfortable life, such as getting a fancy car or a superb house. This is not where faith necessarily ends you up. You know, this is not your destination. It could be, and there's nothing against it. Nothing against a Christian believer having a great deal. In fact, let me tell you an example. There's a lady named Lillian Betancourt. She's one of the wealthiest peoples in the world. I think she's the heir of one of the great cosmetic fortunes in France. And she wrote a book about the Bible. And she said, these are the insects of the Bible, these are words of the Bible. I mean, she did a whole theological study. And she may drive a car like this and have a house like that. But that is not necessarily where faith is going to bring you. You have to be able to stick it for the long term. Because you have to make the commitment in faith. You have to commit yourself. And you have to be determined that this is to where you belong and what you're going to follow for the rest of your life. There's a wonderful expression of this in the Heidelberg Catechism of the Christian Reformed Church. It's one of the confessions. In fact, I don't have the gray hymnal here, but if I open the gray hymnal that we used to have, we have a whole stack of them in the prayer closet. The gray hymnal in the back has a Heidelberg Catechism. And the first question and answer of the Heidelberg Catechism says this: what is your only comfort in life and in death? Your only comfort, not the comfort of any of the things you can find in the world, but the comfort is what you find in your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the commitment you make to Him. I am not my own, but belong body and soul, in life and in death, to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. That is the main reason for this whole Heidelberg Catechism. Whatever else it teaches you, it teaches this, that you have comfort in Jesus Christ. That's strength, that's your commitment, that's your resolve. It's a determination that you do serve a risen Savior who was sent to this earth by a loving Father who wanted to resolve our sin once and for all, and having purchased our freedom and forgiveness by His blood, then is now the one whom we adore and worship and follow. And as Hebrews 12 verse 1 reminds us, since we are surrounded by all this great cloud of witnesses, now think about it, I'm just not the people who are written about in chapter 11. Samson, any of the great leaders of Samuel, Moses, Elijah, Elisha, but also just think in your own life about believers that you've known. I have a whole constellation of them in my own mind who have actually gone unto the Lord. They've gone home to be in heaven, and they were people who had faith, had a determination to follow the risen Lord Jesus and not to let Him go, but to throw off everything that hinders and sin that entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, so that we become people who follow Jesus and don't give up. Consider Him who endured from sinners such hostility against Himself, yet carried on with His mission for God. We persevere, we endure, and we find strength each and every day in our faith. Praise the Lord. Our Lord Jesus pushed through, and we do too. To run this race, you need to have stamina and conditioning. And Hebrews 12:12 reminds us to strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. He knows that we are people who are prone to discouragement. We are prone to getting entangled. We are prone to losing heart, to finding it going too far. If you had to face, you know, what Justin Martyr faced, flogging and a beheading, you know, would you do it? If you had to face what these believers in the 1500s faced, burning at the stake, being put in the waves to be drowned by the tide, would you do it? Would you say, yes, I follow the Lord Jesus? So to run this race, you need strength and conditioning. You need to have something built in. You know, to run the race, you have to really condition yourself. There's people who are determined to do that. Stamina comes from, if you're running, stamina comes from the amount of miles you do each day. You cannot run 25 miles if you only run 1 mile per day. You have to reach higher goals. You need to step up your conditioning to match the need for how long you are going to run. And so then we're asked, what is the conditioning we do as Christians to persevere in our faith? How do you apply this faith to everyday life? How do we find strength to be persevering? And it comes from Bible study. It comes from Sunday school. People who are at Sunday school this morning, perhaps. Perhaps you're in your own quiet time at home. You're asking God for direction. You're spending moments with Him, praising His holy name, absorbing some of His Word, reading a devotional study, perhaps spending some time in worship. You know, put on a worship song. Let that lead you. Spend time singing. Singing is a powerful thing. We've sung this morning, "By the Sea of Crystal, Saints in Glory Stand." We've sung about the sparrow and how it encourages us. And to know that the Lord has His eye on the littlest bird, He has His eye on us. And He leadeth me. What a precious thought that our faithful Savior leads us onward. So we also learn to put our faith into practice. That's what it's about, practicing your faith in how you live. And that helps build stamina and helps build strength. And if you're really going to want to make a full joyful sound, you spend some time preparing. You don't just sing, you sing with some preparation. You know, the Easter choir, we did a fairly good, we did the best we could, we did okay. Well, Hillary always has us do some warm-ups, you know. I love to sing, you know, that kind of thing. And then you do a number of those and you start getting your voice into shape and you begin to have some strength. But to really persevere, you need to have a determination about it. This is a great collection of words around that idea of determination. It has perseverance up at the top. It has courage. It has, you know, that idea of Nike, just do it. It has something about willpower, has about setting goals. It's about being constant, being firm, being focused, having resolve, persisting and pushing through, being single-minded. You know, I love the Lord Jesus and I follow Him. And He gives you strength and He helps you achieve being a Christian for Him. You make this determination, you make a decision that following the Lord Jesus makes the most sense of your life. And I want to bring you to another story. Richard Wurmbrand. He began a ministry called Voices of the Martyrs. And he was born into Romania. He lived through the Second World War there. And then he was in Romania when the communists took over. And the communists are devout atheists. So they don't believe in God at all. And Richard Wurmbrand would not renounce his faith. He continued to evangelize and share his faith. And so they put him into prison. And he must have served 15 years in prison in torture and all kinds of bleakness and in telling them, God doesn't exist. You know, they mocked him for his faith. And he never gave up. He had determination and he had resolve to be following the Lord Jesus. And he came through that prison experience and he was able to win his freedom and come to the United States. And he started a ministry for anyone who is in finding themselves in persecution today to help them have that determination to worship the living Lord Jesus who is in heaven and He promises to be with us. Christ is interceding for us at the right hand of God and the Spirit is interceding for us in our spirit. We have the Holy Spirit present within us to help give us His strength, to inspire us to really be fed by the Word of God, to be fed by the music, to be fed by the songs we sing. And Christ is interceding for us as the risen Lord Jesus in heaven and constantly on our behalf, wanting us to be encouraged by this cloud of witnesses and faith and all those who've gone before us. You know, you can imagine, like Pastor Neil Culbertson, he brought great encouragement to this congregation for so many years, and the Lord took him home to heaven. You know, and I'm sure he's one among those who are saying to you, carry on, continue on. I helped to preach for you, shared my faith with you, shared life with you, so that you are reminded when you are in a panic because the storm is about to swamp your boat, cry out to Jesus. Picture of Jesus in the boat sleeping there. He's sleeping and the disciples are panicking. But cry out to Jesus. He will come to help you. When you're facing a presentation of evil spirits that threaten to overwhelm you. Sorry, let's not move from here. Jesus is rebuking those evil spirits, even when the disciples didn't know how, they didn't figure out, but Jesus said, go. He had full command over the powers of darkness. We call out for Jesus' name to help us. When death gripped Lazarus, and they were in grief over that. They looked to Jesus, and Jesus came, and He said to Lazarus, come out of the tomb. And He called him out in showing this resurrection power that He has. Our Lord Jesus is the risen Lord, and with Him at our head, we can persevere, knowing that He leads us into paths of righteousness. Psalm 23, He restores your soul. He restores your soul. He heals it. He fills it. He gives you strength, and he gives you abundance so that He can guide you in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And He'll lead you through valleys of the shadows of death, and He will be with you, and He will not let you go. This is what Hilaria is experiencing as she's lost her mom in the hospital there. But that Jesus will be with her, hold her, and help her, and give her strength to persevere and get through this loss. And finally, He's going to lead us to the place of great reward, heaven itself. It's the end of Psalm 23. She'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That is our promise, that we will get our great reward, heaven itself, once we've persevered through to the end. In this eternal kingdom, which is present but not fully here yet, in this eternal kingdom, which is going to be fully established in the world, it will become the kingdom ruling over everything. We will find our perfect rest. We will find our perfect peace. And we will then have achieved our goal. But that kingdom may welcome us home to be in heaven with Jesus first, before His return. Or it may be that He does return and He just sweeps us up with Him into the victorious parade of knowing that He has overcome everything in opposition to us. So we're called to keep enduring to the end and remembering that it's a marathon, not a sprint. It's a marathon, not a sprint. You know, our friend comes here, Paul Barner from Philippines, sends us a prayer letter. He's an inspiration as far as perseverance and endurance, right? Because he does the Iron Triathlon. He'll do the three things. He'll do the running, the bicycling, and the swimming. I think he's too old, but, you know, I mean, he wants to do it, and he will do it. He's got very great determination. But, you know, the man has gone to the Philippines. He went down to Davao. It's not an easy place to go minister. He's been there for over 30 years, I think, planting churches, encouraging Christians, discipling them, showing them that you can be a persevering man of faith in that setting. And praise the Lord for that. Keep enduring through the end. It's a marathon, not a sprint. And Psalm 31, verse 24 reminds us, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. All you who hope in the Lord, know that He will strengthen your heart. He will give you fortitude to carry through. And I compare this a little bit like, think about Judy Amesbury and Jeff Nelson. Okay, Judy lives in Phoenix. Jeff lives in Albuquerque. You know how long it takes to fly from one to the other? 1 hour. Hour and 10 minutes. Well, that's easy. It sounds fine. It's nearby. But if you want to go visit Judy or Jeff, you've got to get on an airplane and you've got to go through an endurance test, right? Because you've got to fly all the way to Hawaii, and then you've got to fly all the way to maybe Los Angeles, and you've got to fly on to, you know, wherever else you're going. It takes endurance. You've got to set your mind on it. No, it's a long trip. I compare the same thing to Richard just flew over to Saipan. Basically, go up, go down. You're in Saipan. No problem. But if you're going to fly to L.A., same, you know, relative example. You've got to go on this long endurance test. And it's one of the reasons Hillary and I are saying, who's going to really visit us in Guam? You know, they're not necessarily going to come here very easily. They've got to really have a determination to do it. It takes endurance. What the Lord promises above all else is that He's going to give us the power to walk the walk and talk the talk. He's going to help us be authentic and true Christians who make it through to the end. As Hebrews 12 verse 2 says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him in heaven, of course, going to be with the Father, endured the cross, scorning its shame, knowing it's a shameful way to die. It's really everything stripped away. They're mocking him on the cross. They're saying, if you really are the Son of God, tear yourself off the cross and come and prove yourself. He just scorns the shame of it, scorns the shame, which can still be held onto him. You can still say, well, Jesus, didn't he die in the middle of two criminals? Did he die on that shameful hill of Golgotha? Wasn't he condemned to death by Pilate, the Roman governor? You know, why do you follow him? He's totally discredited. Well, we follow him because he's our Lord and our Savior. Jesus scorned the shame of the cross and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God in heaven, showing us we need to also be like our Lord Jesus, to be determined and show determination, perseverance, endurance, and strength will be ours. He will give us a supernatural strength that is beyond this world. And that strength can be seen in the eyes that shine with faith, even when circumstances could have taken it all away. Richard Wurmbrand, his eyes shone with faith. Daniel's eyes shone with faith in the lion's den. Noah's eyes shone with faith as he went and built the ark in spite of all the mockery and everything else. Abraham's eyes shone with faith as he walked the road to Canaan, leaving everything he knew behind. They all show that God will grant us power to endure to the very end. Amen. Dear Lord, we thank you for our encouragement from the cloud of witnesses in Hebrews chapter 11, encouragement from believers we know from history and time, from believers who've shown faith, determined, persistent faith of Peter and Paul, of these other believers in the New Testament. Thank you, Lord, that they carry on through the life of faith all the way down to our time. And we're thankful, Lord, for the examples and memories we have of those whose eyes shone with faith when circumstances could have taken it or removed it away. We pray, Lord, that you will grant to all of us the right measure of perseverance, endurance, and strength that we need to push through and to continue on our road of faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.